Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Tis the season to be jolly. And if you're in Georgia, you're probably fed up at this point because the election isn't over. We're going to get into that today. We want to do all things Georgia as we've got this special election coming up for the United States Senate. Two Senate seats on the hot seat. With Senator Perdue and Loeffler up against Ossoff and Warnock. This is like, you know, a title fight, folks. And we wanted to get someone who understands exactly what's happening on the ground, on the streets in Georgia. And to help us have this conversation, I'm very excited to welcome Sarah Riggs Amico. Sarah, particularly those of you in Georgia may remember her from her run in 2018. She was the Democratic nominee for Lieutenant Governor. I can relate to those LG aspirants, myself being a former Lieutenant Governor. But she was running in 18 for the Lieutenant Governorship of Georgia. She was running alongside Stacey Abrams on a platform that included expanding access to affordable health care, increasing investments in education, tackling income equality. She is part of this new and emerging group of progressive Georgia political leaders who have really changed the game on the ground in Georgia, moving it in this past presidential cycle from a red state to a purple state. And I wouldn't say Georgia is blue, but it definitely has highlights and tinges of purple, which I think it bodes well for the body politic, keeps everybody honest. And Sarah's been on the forefront of that. She's a mom, devoted Christian, wife, who lives out her values and decided to bring those values into the public space. So we'd certainly appreciate that. Welcome, Sarah, to the podcast.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here.
Well, you know, I wanted to get a sense of what's going on the ground, and just so to update folks, just literally late last evening, Georgia federal judge Leslie Abrams Gardner said in an order that two counties that were trying to purge thousands from their voter rolls in advance of the January 5th primary have had improperly relied on unverified change of address information to invalidate voter registrations. In other words, she said, cut it out, don't do it. What's the latest as we are about a week out from this Georgia special election? I understand some 2 million Georgians have already voted. What can you tell us, and what's your sense of how this thing is playing out?
Absolutely. So far in early voting and absentee voting, 2.3 million Georgians have cast their ballot. It's really an extraordinary turnout here in Georgia, especially for a runoff election. But what I think is really interesting about the math here is that turnout continues to be particularly high in the 6 Democratic congressional districts in the state. And conversely, in traditionally Republican-leaning areas, for example, in the northwestern part of the state where President Trump plans to visit, we're seeing that turnout is somewhat depressed as compared to November 3rd. So my sense is that this bodes very well for two very strong candidates, Reverend Raphael Warnock and John Ossoff, who've both run extremely disciplined campaigns and both pulled in more than $100 million largely in grassroots, small dollar contributions in the last 2 months alone. I think the Democratic electorate here is not only expanding, but it is continuing the energy that we saw in November that flipped the state for a Democratic presidential ticket for the first time in 28 years for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
You make a very interesting point, which I think people need to really appreciate going into a Tuesday special. And that is the approach that both parties have taken to this election has been in many respects unprecedented, but also somewhat traditional in terms of just turning out that vote. But the reality of it is the response from voters has been different. Voters have been much more engaged. I mean, you know, it's someone who's, you know, been involved in this process that, you know, getting people out to a special election is like, you know, trying to take your child in for a haircut. It's just, it's just like, no, I don't want to do that. But the reality of it is voters are engaged this time, but the approach by the parties has also played a big part. The Democrats have focused, as they did in the general election, on turnout. They've said, look, we need you to turn out. We need you to come vote. We need you to register. We need you to vote by mail because of the pandemic. Republicans have, in my view, stupidly said to its base, no, don't do that. Don't vote by mail because vote by mail is corrupt. In fact, L. Lynn Wood, who is a conservative attorney, up the behind Trump supporter, suggested last Friday that Georgia's Republican senators David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler be arrested. you are a week out and you are saying that your Republican incumbent senators with the U.S. Senate on the line should be arrested. And he says, he said, quote, I've received much criticism for demanding that Georgia fix the 11-3 fraud, meaning the November 3rd fraud, before we vote on January 5th. In full disclosure, I'm not a fan of any of the four candidates in the Senate runoff, communist or China compromised, in my opinion. You've got this level of stupid on the Republican side, and you've got this somewhat tightly run, sophisticated operation on the Democratic side. Why is it that people still fear Democrats can screw this up?
Well, first of all, for Lynn Wood, bless his heart. I mean, well, and
like
truly,
a true Southerner.
Yeah, bless him. I mean, you know, the poor man can't get anywhere in a courtroom, and Lord and everybody knows it. So now he's taken to putting our Republican candidates in even more awkward positions than they were in the first place. And look, as a Democrat, I'll take it.
Right.
I think this is going to be the Democrats' race to lose on both fronts. Our candidates are going everywhere, talking to everyone, encouraging them to use whatever manner of voting is safe in the middle of a global pandemic, including drop boxes, including mail-in ballots, including in-person voting with your mask and social distancing and your hand sanitizer. And meanwhile, back at, you know, the Cuckoo Ranch, we've got the Republicans threatening to withhold their vote. I'm not sure to what end. And, backing things like the Texas Attorney General's bizarre out-of-state lawsuit to overthrow the will of the 5 million Georgians who voted in November. I mean, it really is an almost comedy of errors on the part of the Republican National Committee. And so I think Lynn Wood, in many respects, sort of personifies the self-inflicted wounds that the Republican Senate candidates have here in Georgia. Yeah, I got a giggle last night, Michael. I was on Twitter because I had to stay up a little bit late and write an op-ed I'm working on. And the comms director, the communications director, a communications professional from the NRSC was picking a Twitter fight with a 19-year-old Georgia voter in Cobb County, of all places, where I live. This is a young man who's amassed quite a following for being very civically engaged and right, doing some analysis on election maps. And I just thought, well, if this isn't just the Republicans' problem in a nutshell, they've got Lynn Wood saying the candidates should go to jail, two Senate seats that they should have been able to keep, you know, statistically speaking.
Yeah.
Democrats have never won a runoff here. So I guess you could argue we're due. But, and meanwhile, back at the ranch, we've got a comms director at the NRSC who's picking a fight with a 19-year-old in one of the most important suburbs who's well-known and well-liked across the political spectrum. They're just completely out of touch. I mean, how the hell does he have time for that, right? So this is the state of play here.
So what's happened in Georgia? How has Georgia changed in 2 years? Now, we can talk about the arc over an extended period of time. I mean, I've been calling for the party to be aware since I was a state chairman back in 2000 that the Southern strategy, A, would no longer be successful, could not hold the line. Two, or B, the demographics are working against us. So we need to try to get in front of it. So you see, from red Virginia to now blue Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina's teetering, Florida's always up in the air. Texas was in play in 2020. How the hell does that happen?
It will be again. I have high hopes that we'll take that state.
Well, no, I'm already on the record now for well over a year predicting that Texas will be a battleground state in 2024, with the likelihood that the Republican nominee for president will not win the state of Texas in 2024. Because I've seen that, I've been calling that for 20 years now, that trend line. So what is it about Georgia? Georgia's part of this new South. And I'll get into a moment to what you and Stacey did in 2018 in your race for governor and lieutenant governor. Mm-hmm. But what is it that you think that's changed about Georgia, such that, to your point just made, that this runoff should be a no-brainer? I mean, Democrats shouldn't be competitive in a runoff state election for the U.S. Senate in Georgia, but they are. They're competitive here, and from what I understand, leading in the polling that's being done. So what's happening there on the ground?
Yeah, so, and I want to be clear, the reason that traditionally Democrats have not been competitive in runoffs in this state is because the system was designed to do exactly that, right? Mm-hmm. This is a state where Jim Crow may be gone, but voter suppression, particularly in rural and minority communities, is still very, very much alive. And we can talk about some of the experience that Stacey and I had with that in 2018. But the system was designed to make it harder for working folks to have to get out and vote in several different elections. If you have runoffs in every race in this cycle alone, Georgians could have had to go to the polls 7 different times in this one election cycle.
Wow.
So it's really an inefficient, as a business person for the last 20 years, it's a remarkably inefficient operation.
Thanks for listening to this quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Now, we'll be back with a full show soon, but in the meantime, you can go to Apple Podcasts, review us, give us 5 stars. Yes, we like the 5-star rating. Or you can listen on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get your podcast on. Catch you later, folks.
I'm sports psychologist Dr. Andrew Jacobs. I created the Sportsmanship Foundation to promote and educate parents and athletes about the role of good sportsmanship in our development. Learn more at winnersunlimited.com. That's winnersunlimited.com.
Everyone loses golf balls, even the pros. When you need golf balls, go to lostgolfballs.com, the world's largest inventory of used golf balls. All the top brands, in stock, 50% off retail. lostgolfballs.com.